I've hit a button and the numbers are going by, so I think we're recording another episode of Intriguing Creativity, episode 19. And this is Tom Trimbath.
Nice.
Talking with Steve Smolinski. So, middle of July, and I'm looking at it might get up to 80 today. And for you guys, how hot is it?
Is it for us today?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I just know there's a bunch of places that have been getting really hot, and I've just been reflecting on Star Wars and in the first movie they had all the they went to Morocco basically to film the thing, and there's all those all those houses that are built underground to get away from the heat.
Hmm.
I'm trying to imagine that in Philadelphia. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was warm here yesterday. It wasn't like super hot, but it was warm. It got pretty warm. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that's, you know, amongst everything else that's happening. I mean, folks can talk politics all they want, and you know, definitely go talk politics and whatnot. But, you know, the world is changing, regardless of the politics, the world is changing. And I think I'm in a good spot because I think, well, as a matter of fact, I know that because I live up by the north end of Puget Sound, it's like 10 to 15 degrees cooler than it is in, like, downtown Seattle. So just, you know, 30 miles all of a sudden makes it a lot cooler. But I start wondering what's going to happen with all those folks, all the people that are living down in the heat dome.
Well, all those people down in the heat dome are going to be burning up. They're going to have some hot times.
But, you know, are you starting to see anybody moving from, like, Philly up towards your place? Or, I mean, are people moving up towards you? Because I mean, you're in the forest, right?
Anybody that I've seen, yeah. I haven't noticed anybody moving.
Well, that's good for you guys.
Well, I don't know. I guess it is.
Yeah. So we're going to be. We were just talking about this the other day because it's so apparent. Because it's, you know, middle of July, literally. And because it's so much cooler up here, it's going to be interesting to see. Well, there's a few hundred thousand, I think it's like 700,000 people living in downtown Seattle. And this corner of the country, you know, we're the northwest corner of the northwest corner. And we're only like 10 or 20,000 people per city, and there's only four cities. So it wouldn't take much of Seattle's population to go, well, let's just kind of move a little bit further out. And all of a sudden, you know, we'll be inundated with folks who are not familiar with well water and having to get water straight from the mountains and a lot of other things that are much more rural than downtown.
But, all that, yes. All those places I used to live in the old days.
So did you ever go to a place like Morocco where they had the cities, the towns, the houses that were built underground? Because I've never been to a place like that.
Where the cities and the houses were built underground? No, I don't think I was.
Because I look at Phoenix, and Phoenix is going to be over 100 degrees, you know, so many days per year now, that it seems like someone is going to wise up and start, you know, using those solutions.
Well, that's a good point. The question is who are the people that are going to be the ones who decide to give it a try and see what happens?
Well, and that's what I'm looking for is, you know, the folks that are going to give it a try are going to be doing it now. They're not going to be, you know, having debates about it and things like that. They're just going to go out there and, well, it's like that. Some friends of mine who've decided to be a bit more resilient by going up and having enough land to work, so they can build their own house, they can grow their own food. Not going to grow all their food, but they're going to have enough food that if they need to take care of themselves, they can.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I was living up in the really cold parts, that's what we did. We all did that.
Yeah.
Well, not all of us, a lot of us did that.
Right.
And it was interesting times, 'cause some of us went up there and we were like the first ones that went up and did that and just picked up parts of the ground, and that became where we lived.
Yeah, it's like.
It was quite nice, actually. It was a little weird because of the weather moving around, but it was quite nice because the area was really nice and you could basically do whatever you wanted and it was right there.
Yeah.
And so you had the water there, you had the ground there, you had
Oh, you had the
the
trees for heat, firewood and things like that.
reason. Excuse me, that's right. You had the firewood everywhere, so everybody had firewood, and you had all kinds of weird little stuff going on around everybody, because everybody was trying to figure out, well, how about if I do this here, what happens? How about if
Right.
I stay there, what happens?
Yeah, folks are getting creative with what they were trying to figure out.
Yeah, figure out what you could do and where you could live and how you could live there, and was it going to be really wonderful or was it going to be really stupid? But it turned out for pretty much everybody that it was really wonderful, and people really liked it and lived there long times and did interesting things.
So that's why I'm kind of curious, because right now, when folks decide to do something like that, it's so different than what it was 30 years ago. Because now it's so much easier to do solar, and folks have tried, and come up with incinerating toilets and, biomanure and things like that, humanure.
Yeah, we didn't have solar at that point, so we didn't we weren't doing that. We just had stuff on the ground
Yeah.
that was there, and you got pieces of it and you built things with the pieces you had, and you heated things up with the wood fires, and
Was it Eisenhower that said, "Do what you can, what? Do what you can with what you have now," basically. You get to a point where you're not going to debate what you want to do. You really look around and you say, what do I have with me right now that I can actually work with, rather than, yeah. And that's why I'm kind of curious to see, because I think that there's going to be,
That's what it was where I was, is
yeah.
that's what we did, because we had what we had and we used it to do what we could do with it.
And what I'm watching for now is how are folks going to do it differently now? Because back then, you couldn't rely on electronics because, for one, they were less efficient, and so was the solar. And now you can actually, if you go in with solar, it's way more efficient, and you can be using LED lights, which are very efficient. Computers hardly take anything at all compared to what they used to take. And I'm wondering how their setups are going to be different. And really, the only way I have to really track that is just to talk to people, because it's not like they're hunting for the headlines. They're not trying to get in the paper to talk about the fact that they've gone off, not just off the grid, but out of the system.
Well, you'll be an adventurer about it. How's that?
Give me a few extra 100,000 and I'll join them. I just found I found a tiny house on, I think it's like 5 acres, yeah, tiny house on 5 acres with a little bit of a view, not too far out of town, not too close, not too far out. And I just need another $300,000.
Oh, that's not much. Don't worry about it.
And you know, for a lot of folks, it isn't. For a lot of folks, 300,000 is just, oh, okay, that's in the negotiation for a piece of property.
Yep.
Whereas for some of us, oh my God, how did I ever find $300,000, you know?
Listen, I'm with you. I'm with you. $300,000 is a nice chunk of funds to come up with. And, you know, it's only a piece of what you need. Because you
Yeah.
need all the other junk to go with it to make it all work.
Yeah, because that's really one of the problems that still runs in a lot of the younger folks are running into is how do you get past the college debt? How do you get past all these other things to even accumulate enough money to now go out and find land which is expensive even? And that's why I see their solution. I see them having the possibility of going out and buying a land and building on it and things like that. But at the same time, the hurdles in 2025 are much larger than the hurdles in 1995.
Yep.
So you think folks are going to be trapped in the cities?
I think that there's some number of people that are going to be trapped in the cities. I definitely think that. In all kinds of weird places around the cities, and that there's other people that are just out there looking around, thinking about stuff, and deciding where's the best place they want to be. Because I run into people that are having that are talking about, I guess I should say, that are talking about where am I going? Where am I going to be? Where am I going?
Yeah.
And but they're at the where am I going stage. They don't have a where yet. They're at the where am I going, because they're still trying to figure out how it all fits together and what it means and what the implications are for the life that they've had and the things that they like that they were doing. And what's going to happen as they figure out the answer to that? What's going to really mess up their lives tremendously from what their lives used to be? And, you know, people get really attached to what their life was.
And hopefully messing them up is going to be a case of they're messing it up to make it better.
Yeah, but they're still also thinking about what they really liked about their life and how much of that do I just decide the hell with it? I'm just going to find a new one and that's going to be it, because that's the new world that we have today. It's just what it is. And those of us that have the ability to do it and the interest and the energy to say it's time to do it are just going to do it because it makes the most sense for a lot of people. And I mean, you know, it was when I moved into the middle of Nowhereville, that's what we did. We just said, well, this would be a really cool place to be. It would be not a bad place to live. So let's just do it. And that was it. Up, boom, there
Great.
you are. And most of the people, they liked it a lot and they hung out there and they had good times and they got along fine, and it worked out fine for a lot of people. They found things to do there, you know, work things to do and other things and hanging out with new people and whatever. And it seemed to work fine, and it was really a lot less expensive than some of the other things they could have done.
So that's what I'm kind of curious. So I'm curious to see how much of for my area, Seattle, how much of downtown folks are going to try to bring with them? Which is some of it's going to be natural because the internet is so integral to life anymore. I mean, that's how we're recording this podcast.
Right.
And yet, how much of the old style hippie approach is going to still prevail, which is not necessarily the tie-dye part, but the communal part, the working with each other, the sharing resources. And like I say, I'm really curious to see what new solutions folks are going to come up with, because I have a rough time believing that the solutions we saw 30 or 40 years ago are going to be the solutions they're going to need now. I mean,
Yeah,
some of them are going to be, but there's got to be something new out there.
well, it's interesting because when I moved out to the middle of nowhere, it was a lot of people doing stuff together, working together,
Yeah.
because it was pretty easily to do it. To find some other people that were looking for some stuff and figure out where the right place was and start chopping up trees and finding places to build little hangout places to be and put a cabin there or something. And other people said, "Well, that's kind of cool. I'm going to put a cabin here too." And so you had groups,
Yeah. Well, I wonder
and
if
then the groups would look around and they would say, "Well, this is kind of interesting. There's no utilities at all here, so I guess we're going to have to build an outhouse." And then people started building outhouses, which was a whole big invention because nobody had been building outhouses, right?
That's
And
usually not something you have a class in, no. It's just here's a shovel, start digging.
people got into having outhouses
Yeah.
and realized that outhouses are actually pretty easy to deal with. So I remember I had my first big outhouse out there, and it was fine.
Now, I guess
As
that kind of gets into the.
soon as you built one and you realized what it meant to have one and what kind of differences it meant to you to have one of those and what you had to do to make it work properly and keep you
Well, sanitary.
sanitary, and all that, and then it wasn't so bad at all. It was an okay thing to do. It was a different kind of work stuff that you had to do to maintain it and keep it together, but it was fine. Worked fine.
And really, in the last 30 years, I mean, just looking at the what's happened with RVs, with the porta potties that they have on RVs and things like that, and I'm just sitting there wondering, if you. Well, let me put it this way. 30 years ago, a tiny house was a radical concept. It was just a brand new idea, even though houses had been tiny for thousands of years before that. But if somebody really wanted to go out and buy a piece of property and go live on it right now, I just realized that 30 years ago, you would have had to build something,
Right.
most likely. Whereas now, I know in my county, I could just drive down to the local tiny house lot, buy a tiny house, and have them deliver it.
Right.
Which all of a sudden I just realized, so that may it may be as simple a thing as that. Now, as much as I think folks in Phoenix should be drilling down to why are you building your house up into the sunshine? You can have your own shade by building down. But this is a forested area, and all you have to do is you just have to clear the land, make it accessible to the tiny house. Now, of course, the county's going to have things to say about utilities and whatnot, but even that is a lot easier than it was 30 years ago because you can have the decentralized utilities without having to get away with things. You could actually just do it legit. So I wonder why that isn't as popular as, well, maybe it is actually popular.
Well, I guess it depends what people get used to and what they're thinking about, and who are the people that are brave enough to decide, let's take a shot and see what happens. Because at the end of the day, it's people taking a shot at something to see what happens, because they don't really have a clue what's going to happen if you do that now. You know, when I was doing it, you went out into the woods and you had a pretty good idea what was going to happen if you went out into the woods, because the woods was the woods, and we all knew what the woods was. And all of us that were the mountaineers, we all had spent time wandering around in the woods and stuff, so we had a pretty good idea of what the woods was and what you were getting into if you started hanging around out there, because we'd all been in there for quite a while and, you know, wandering around and looking at stuff and all that. But I'm not sure how many people have that kind of experience behind them now,
Good
so that
point.
they have more of the knowing what it is, so it's easier to think through what I should do and what it's going to mean if I do it.
So nowadays, people are more likely to be able to find the information they need, but they're also more likely to need to find that information.
That's right. I think that that's correct. And I think that the people that have the experience from the past are going to be very valuable to other people, because they're going to actually have skills and knowledge that's going to make it way easier and way more possible
You think the people are going to want old folks like us?
to do things. Yeah, that's right. Because you've got a certain kind of experience that's going to make it way easier for a lot of people to decide to take a little flyer on where they want to be out in a more rural areas, because they're going to have other people that they can talk to who are going to say, "Oh yeah, let me tell you what it was like." Well, like I'm doing. Let me
Right.
tell you what it was like when I first moved out there. This is what we had to do.
Yeah.
So this is what you better be thinking about, because you're going to have to do some of this stuff. And if you haven't been thinking about it, you better be thinking about it, because otherwise, where you're going to be living is nowhere, because there is nowhere there yet. So, you know.
Which has got its appeal, if you're even if you're not doing it well. It has its appeal for the first week or for the first month, but the first bad season, whether it's heat or cold, you really want to know how to live there.
Well, that's what I actually you caught my thought there. I was going to say, and the real issue for people is, what's going to happen in the bad times? How am I going to handle that? Because that's what people are going to notice the first time that they are out in one of those places, and they didn't think about that these are places where, when the bad times come, you get 32 feet of snow on top of you. That's a little different than you're thinking about. That's a lot of snow.
That's a lot of
It's
snow. I've skied into
real
places.
cold. It's real cold when you're in one of those places where the snow falls in mountains. It doesn't fall in little nice little pieces and blocks that you can pick up and throw around at your neighbor. It doesn't come like that.
Which is why Montana has as small a population as it does, considering how large that state is.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's, to me, what we're talking about here is, a lot of people are interested because they have a fantasy about it, and a lot of people have wandered around and looked at things because it's easy enough to do that, so you might as well go take a look and see what's what. But not so many people have any real experience or knowledge as to what it really means when those things start happening.
Right.
I mean, an outhouse is an example. I mean, a lot of people have heard of outhouses because it's kind of a country thing that has been out there and people have heard about outhouses. But I got to tell you, the first time somebody actually goes someplace and realize they're going to have to build and use an outhouse, that is a realization to them that they have never had before.
I like hiking around here where the outhouse doesn't have a house.
Yeah,
You're just up hiking in the woods, and there's a box with a hole in it. It's got a lid,
Yep.
and you just hope it's not raining, and you hope the
There
mosquitoes aren't too
it
bad, and
Yeah, and there it is. And oh, by the way, you share them. Outhouses tend to be
Oh
shared.
yeah, but the other thing to, as an example of though what is possible is, and I haven't been hiking since backpacking since before COVID. But they now have solar outhouses, so that it's a self-contained unit. Now this is in the national parks, Mount Rainier National Park. They helicopter this thing in, but of course you could always have it brought in otherwise as well. And it has solar enough for a fan, and it actually then circulates the air through the waste receptacle, so that everything that gets left behind decomposes that much quicker.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. That's a nice little deal going on there.
And actually, it can be as clean as the folks who use it. So if the folks who use it keep it clean, you've got this little piece of essential civilization. And
It's
it
not
really.
the outhouse I had.
I
We
suspect yours had splinters.
dug a hole in the ground to get it, the first outhouses. You had to get there and you had to figure out where the place was, and then you had to build the damn thing with wood and, that you dug up out of the land right where the outhouse was, basically. And then what I remember was is that, and then we had a big wood pile that was sort of right with where the outhouse was. Excuse me, where the outhouse was, because you had stuff to keep it going in the winter. So we had to deal with that because in the winter it got really cold. You had these funny little, I guess what were they made out of? I can't remember what they were made of, but we had these funny little box things that would be there that you would push around and get them out of the way and move them, and you'd bring in some logs when you needed some wood to do something with it and fix it up, or add a side or a roof to it or something. And
You sound like you had a pretty sophisticated outhouse.
yeah, so you were well, you were it was part of your house at the time, remember? Was right there, and you were dealing with it every day, so you wanted something that was pretty decent. Because as I said, it was also cold times, so you didn't want to be out in the freezing weather and standing around with nothing trying to go to the bathroom. That was not fun.
So where did you guys get your water from? Did you just have a pipe out to the local stream, or did you have to bring buckets or what?
We didn't have streams. We had to find the water in streams or wherever, and then we had to get the water out to where we were, usually by digging a well.
That's what I was curious about.
So I had wells,
So
and
that aspect probably hasn't changed much then.
I mean, wells out there were pretty easy to do. You're there, it's countryside, it's dirt and bushes and stuff like that, land, so that you just went to a place where you figured that there must be some water around here somewhere, because look, there's all these animals living here, they must drink some water from somewhere.
Like I
So you
said, that
would.
doesn't apply to all the United States, just to where you and I
Yeah,
live.
but you know what I mean. So
Yeah.
you would go and you would find the places where there were water, and usually there would be some water running around somewhere. So you'd have some ideas of where you could start to look for it. And then you would dig a well, and the well would be there, and the well gives you water. And you just hope that you dug it in a place where the water was nice and sweet, and it wasn't, you didn't pick a place where it had weird junk in it for some reason, you
And
know?
that's another good point because, 100 years ago when somebody was digging a well, they were happy to find water. They probably had no way of testing it.
No,
Whereas now
well,
you can at least take a sample into the water district and kind of go, is this safe to drink?
no, we didn't. We weren't doing that. We had a well, and the well had the water, and that's what you had. There wasn't a whole lot of worrying about was it safe. You just assumed it was a well, and the well was okay, and you sort of putzed around a little bit, shook it around, you know, tried it out, tasted it. And
Check
then
for sediment, things like that.
what you did if you wanted stuff that you wanted it to be different, you had a fire and you could heat it up and cook it a little bit and get the bad stuff to go away, right? By heating it up. And that would work. That would work pretty good.
Tea and beer, they're there for not for the flavor, they're there for the essentials. Actually, I know beer was there for finding a way to drink unpalatable water. Tea, I figure, so probably fell into that camp whether or not they made a big case of it or not.
Well, you remember those were the days when everybody was experimenting on everything. So you tried this, you tried that, you saw what seemed to be the best, and then you figured out how high up to put the water when you were doing your wells and stuff and things like that. And pretty soon you'd figured out, okay, this works.
Make sure the
And
well is upstream of the outhouse.
that's right. But there was your well. There was your well. And that was it. There was the well. There was the outhouse over there. There was the well over there. There was the wood pile over there to the left of that stuff. And next thing you knew, you were living there.
Well, because a lot of folks assume that the way things are is the way things have been because so few folks pay much attention to history. They're aware of history, but they don't really think about it. But you realize our species has been around for about 300,000 years.
A long time.
It was only until a few thousand years ago that we realized you could do wells. And then it was only 100 or 200 years ago where we realized you had to be careful about which well you got. And now we're to the point where it's kind of like, and that's why I'm kind of curious about some of this stuff, where we are, as a civilization, as a society, we are still maturing, we are still learning, we're still developing. I don't have this idea that we're a paragon at this point. It's not like paragon? I don't know. But that we have reached this pinnacle by any means. We're still kids as far as the species goes. Matter of fact, somebody was making Charles Johnson, who gave a talk at a conference that Steve and I went to, talking to you guys now. But he was pointing out that you can judge a civilization by the way it acts as compared to a child, or an adolescent, or a young adult, or somebody who's a sage. And the thing to notice with children is it's always mine, mine, mine. And then eventually they realize there's a family, and then they eventually realize there's their friends, and then you realize there's a community, and then you realize there's a whole planet, and then you realize there's a whole species and all this kind of stuff. And considering politics nowadays, there's an awful lot of mind my mind going on, and just oh, we have so far to go. At least in the United States, we have so far to go.
Yes. Well, Matt, that's the other thing that I wonder about today's times. We have had so much really bad stuff thrown around the places where people want to live. I mean, all the stuff that's been going on that's been really terrible for the country and everything. Well, a lot of that is where people have been thinking it would be nice places to live. And now you think about, well, look at all the crap that's happened from our current president and how he's changed so many things for the worse. And then you got to wonder, where does that fit in around where people want to live and where some of the places where you could dig a well, for example, might be? Because they've been screwing around with the ground an awful lot and making a lot of things way worse than they used to be, our Mr. President.
And the thing that gets me is, as much as people are expanding out to living, in wilderness areas, I also make the distinction anymore, and I'm doing this in my writing, my book as well. They're building vacation houses. They're not building vacation homes. Because a house is something you just visit on occasion. And a home is where you actually, that's where you're paying your bills. That's, you have a domicile. You have a legal place that they want to know where you're paying so they know where to come to you for the taxes and things like that.
Right.
And an awful lot of the construction that's going on seems to be folks that are just, oh, I've got the place in the city. I'm going to have the place in the country. And the place in the country is almost by definition, the minority of the time. So you're ending up with an awful lot of construction going on that is, by definition, usually vacant, which is not really solving the problem. As a matter of fact, it's kind of expanding the problem out rather than finding solutions for folks. I will have to think about that one.
Well, and it's also under the wing of a guy who's a maniac who doesn't know anything about any of the things we're talking about, who is making the rules as to where you would live and how many people can live there and who is going to be doing the different kinds of work around there, and are you going to be able to build a well, and stuff like that. And the people who are doing it don't have a clue what they're talking about. I
This is
mean,
why I'm a real.
look at what's been happened since our new president got in charge. He figured out that we could get rid of all the food that kids need because kids don't really need food. I mean, and you think to yourself, how are these people going to make anything work?
This is why I'm a real fan of, if you're going to run for, and this is not going to happen, but if you're going to run for office, if you're going to have a political position, you have to be able to pass the citizenship test.
You should be able to, it seems like. You should at least understand that kids do need the food. You can't just take away the food from kids. It doesn't work that way.
If you're going to be running Bureau of Land Management, that you have to actually prove that you know something about land management. And
Yeah,
if,
what a good idea that would be,
I
huh?
mean, what a concept. And yet, we're having, what is it? I can't remember how many, but I can think of at least two political appointees in the last few years who did not know. They were proud to become like the head of the Department of Energy without realizing what the Department of Energy does.
Yeah, those are the people I like the best. The ones who don't even understand what the business of the job that they have is supposed to be.
We don't need this. Do you even know what you're doing? And of course, Department of Energy, the irony with the Department of Energy is it's basically the nuclear agency, so it's nothing to do with how much you're paying for gas at the pump as compared to whether or not the nuclear plant down the street is going to be, maintained and inspected and things like that.
Yep. And oh, by the way, yes, there's those things out there that are called bugs.
Oh, yeah. Which we don't have as many of anymore.
What are we going to do with all the bugs?
Well,
Who's going to take care of the bugs?
and I haven't seen, I've seen a few articles on this, and I really wish somebody would push it harder. But they're talking about how much we have reduced the population of wild creatures. That the majority, that we now have so much biomass in livestock, and we have. And I finally realized it the other day, where I remember where the idea of putting a fender, a little shelf on the front of your hood to deflect the bugs away from your windshield was a really marvelous idea. Nobody had been doing that in the 50s and the 60s and 70s. In the 70s, folks started doing that. And it was great. Now I'm realizing I don't have that on my car. I hardly have any bugs hitting it. And it's kind of spooky, because it's kind of like, well, this is great, because cleaning off the windshield was a royal pain. But at the same time, they're not living here anymore. I don't think that's a good thing. I think, knowing that things can live where you're living is kind of confirmatory when you actually think about sustainability.
Well, that's it. That's it. And knowing how things can live where, et cetera, goes back to my comment about our crazy guy that's running things for us all now, who doesn't seem to understand anything about the area that he's now in
Oh
charge of
no, he doesn't. He knows. He knows he doesn't need to.
that would be useful for having people li actually live there,
Yeah,
like
but he's
wants
not.
to
That's.
have live people living there.
But that's not one of his motivations. His motivation is power, and he's got power. So as far as
That's
he's
right.
concerned, he's successful.
That's right. He's got the power and he can boss you around and he can tell you that you can go there and you can do this and it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything.
Which gets me back to the extra 300,000, so I can go buy the tiny house on the 5 acres. It's
Yeah,
a half an
I'll
hour
just
from here.
take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'll just take care of it.
Yeah, and it is. I somebody like that, in a position like that, is a sort of impetus that inspires people to start thinking these things. See, that's one of the takeaways I have from this whole situation is. How many folks now are realizing that the solutions they were handed, here's what you were taught in school, here's what you learned from the ads, here's what you're being told was conventional wisdom, is not appropriate anymore. And what I'm watching for is people, movements, individuals, of course, to start with, but enough individuals and all of a sudden you've got a movement. Who are going to be doing this sort of thing? I keep thinking there's going to be some fraction of them that are going to move to the countryside and settle, just because on odds there's going to be some folks that do that. But I'm also watching to see what I wouldn't be looking for. How are other folks finding other ways to live that aren't suburbia, that aren't downtown, or if they are downtown, they're not apartments. They're finding other ways to organize. And I haven't really been seeing much of that. I've been seeing the hurt, but I haven't been seeing the solutions. And that's the part that kind of has me a little worried. Because if they don't even realize they can look for solutions, that's a fundamental failure. And it wouldn't surprise me to find that our education system now has not been teaching folks how to find solutions.
Our education folk hasn't system hasn't been teaching folks anything useful since it was overtaken by the guy who doesn't believe in education, among other things he doesn't believe. Right?
Yeah, the fact that they're getting rid of the Department of Education is kind of like, oh, the John Green, who's a famous YouTuber, says, I don't even have kids, and I want a Department of Education because I don't want to be living in a country with a bunch of stupid people.
I got it. I'm with him. I'm with him.
That's paraphrased. Sorry, John, if I got that wrong, but the
No, I'm with that. I'm with that one. I wondered about that myself as soon as I heard what was happening to the Department of Education. It was like, so how do these people think people learn stuff? We're going to have no education at all. How are people going to learn anything?
And
I
there
mean,
was.
anything. I'm not even talking about the complicated stuff. Just anything.
And there's a report I just saw in the last couple of weeks where they now have had enough time with artificial intelligence, which really has only really been becoming useful within the last few years. But they're already seeing that college graduates can pass the tests, but they can't critically think. They're not
Yeah,
used to.
seen that too. I've seen talk about that too.
And
That
I wonder how critically I was able to think when I was right out of college. But I knew that right out of college, I also went into the industry for 3 years, went back to college, and when I came out of college again, it was like, oh, now I got it. But
well,
I was able to get it.
that's yeah. Well, but that's the issue. There is a lot of stuff that it takes to know how to run a country. A lot of stuff has to happen to run a country in a way that actually can support the people that are there or want to be there. And it's not stuff that you just pick up by wandering around over a weekend.
And of course, you know, like I say, the folks that are in power right now are there because not because they even care about that stuff. They know how
That's
to
right.
say they care about it, but their whole thing is they are in power, and therefore
Yeah,
they are right.
actually, yeah, but what we know is that they really don't care about it. What they care about is that they have the power to oversee it, and they have the power to steal all the money from everybody else for themselves. But that doesn't make you the person that knows how to run it or how to build it, or how to deal with the problems that are caused by it. None of those things.
And what we end
All of
up
those
with,
things are just out there somewhere for somebody else to worry about.
and what we end up with is, instead of folks just saying, let the whole thing collapse, which is the idea that some folks have, I'm proud and impressed with the folks who are like the essential workers, the firefighters, nurses, and folks like that, and say, yes, this is stupid, this is ridiculous, but I'm still going to get the job done because I know the job must be done. And I don't know if they're ever going to get compensated for having that attitude, but I'm so impressed with them.
Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. When I hear somebody talking like that, I feel like, oh, we do have some really good people around that have figured out I'm going to try and make things work. And I feel like it's nice that we have people that actually are trying to think about this and come up and do some things to make things work. What a wonderful idea. You're going to make stuff work. I
And
love it.
that really is, we go back to, you know, how the United States came to be with all of its missteps and all the things we've done to the folks who were living here before. One of the fundamental aspects of being American was you made things work. You were willing to go out there and here's a patch of ground. You're going to put a sod house on it because sod is what you've got. And then
Well, yeah,
eventually.
now we're back to me living out in the sticks is that when you went out and you started finding the place where you're going to do a well and get your stuff together so that you could actually live there, everybody was doing that. How am I actually going to get this together and make it work?
Right.
Everybody was in the how do I make it work
You become
mode.
a pragmatist by
You
necessity.
had no choice. You had no choice. You had to be thinking about how do I make this work? And you had to figure it out so that it actually would work. Because if you didn't do that, you didn't live really long. You wound up getting beat up by the big critters that you didn't even know existed because you weren't smart enough to realize that there are big, dangerous critters that live up in the woods in the middle of nowhere.
Or
And you better know what they are, and you better have some idea what to do if one of them starts chasing you up a hill.
you end up, you know, not making it through the season because you got snowed in, or because, you know, there's drought
All
and things
those
like that.
things,
Yeah.
right? That's right.
Okay, you got me riled up, so that's good. But it's probably about time for us to bring a close to this, so maybe you feel kind of abrupt. But
Okay.
so this
I
is
gave people enough things to think about now with the new houses that they're now thinking about.
yeah. So this has been episode 19 of Intriguing Creativity. Thank you all for listening in again. This is Tom Trimbath scratching his head as usual, and while Steve is scratching his beard. And
Yes, Malinsky here.
we look forward to hearing from you. And contact us. Keep listening in. Spread the word. And anything else you want to say, Steve?
I think we covered everything that people need to know about building their new houses out in the nowhere.
Cool. Well, with that then, we bid you all adieu and look forward to us next month.
Yep. Have a good time at whatever it is you're doing now. Enjoy things and have fun wandering around and figuring out how you're going to be building that house, wherever you're going to be building that house in the new world that is being created as fast as someone can throw rocks out there.
Bye, y'all.